The following programming is sponsored by Michael Sloan. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war, and poverty. Wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children to jump the very best.
Good morning, Philadelphia. This is the Hour of Power with the Federation of Black and Minority Businesses. I'm your host, Reverend Michael Sloan, and my co-host, Makara, is actually not in right now. She's running a little late, so I'm going to actually go on with the show. We have some guests with us, and so right now I have my additional co-host from the Senior Ambassadors, Chris, right sitting across right from me on the table. How's it going, Chris?
Good morning, Mike. It's going fine. My name is Chris Tucker. I'm here with the Federation of Black and Minority, and I'm here through the Senior Ambassadors.
That's right.
From the York House.
Yes, from the York House. We're going to be getting into some things today, some exciting things, some things that aren't really that exciting, but I also have another guest on the line, and we're going to have some guests calling in. But right now, we also have Pastor Billy Thompson. How are you, Pastor?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having us on this morning. Excited about the program and grateful for the invitation.
Thank you for being here. I got to warn you, I have coffee in me right now. So I'm a little different. My voice is a little higher pitch. If you go back and just listen to some of the shows, I'm a little more subdued. I'm not all over the place if I don't have coffee. So my daughter told me, stop drinking coffee, but I needed some coffee today. So I got some coffee. All right.
Yeah.
So I know, you know, before I get into some of the other things, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, what you're doing, and possibly elaborate, because I can elaborate on what we're going to do, but I wanted to come from your perspective. So tell us a little bit about yourself, your church, you got an event coming up, but go ahead.
Yeah, again, thanks for the invitation. And I'm here with actually the queen of what we're working on this Thursday, Ms. Shirley Batts. And she's our president and coordinator for the Silver Birthday Club. And this Thursday night, we're going to have an event at the Majestic Ballroom where we're going to be celebrating all of the seniors' birthdays for the month of February. And so we missed February. And so with her permission, those birthdays that were in January, you're able to come out as well. This is a free event that we're having at 800 West Alleyne Avenue, the Majestic Ballroom. And Miss Shirley and I, we are here now. We're just kind of putting some finishing touches on it. So I wanted to introduce her as well during this time, and she can kind of let you know some of the things that we have planned that's going to be happening tomorrow night. It's tomorrow night at 7 p.m. So, Ms. Shirley, can you tell us just a little bit of what we're going to do?
Yes. Hi, my name is Ms. Shirley Batts, and I am a coordinator for the seniors. We're going to have a birthday celebration. We're going to have dancing. We're going to also represent a DJ will be there also, where we have games and prizes. And we also going to see if we can get the seniors to register so that they can participate in our program. and that we will be hosting a lot of things that we hope that they will be happy and everything. So we are looking forward for everybody to come out and participate with us. And so they will have a number to get in contact with me or Pastor Billy. So we hoping and looking forward for this to get set.
Why don't you give out that number now?
Sure. They can contact us right here at 267-737-7447. The number again is 267-737-7447. And I'm going to tell you one of the things that we're working on right now that I'm excited about. We're going to have a senior prom this year. And all of the seniors that may have went on their proms, but those especially that did not have an opportunity to go on their prom, they need to make sure that they become a part of our senior birthday silver celebration club. It's going to be amazing. And I'm going to tell you something right now. The DJ is going to be there, like Ms. Bat says. She is handling all of this. She's making sure that all of the seniors are getting the resources that they need. And we're excited to be partnering with you, Reverend Sloan, because all of the information and resources that you have been providing for the seniors as it relates to the Healthy Foods Initiative and all of these things, it all just works together. And so, again, thank you so much. Tomorrow night is going to be our kickoff night. It is free. Only thing you have to do is show up with a smile and let's get together and have a good time, because we are appreciating our seniors that have been taking care of us all of this time. Now it's time for us to take care of them. So thanks again, Mrs. Sloan.
Not a problem. Question for you. I have some people with some disabilities. Are they welcome? Well, let me just clarify. The disability is, like, for me, I have two left feet.
Wow.
Are we still allowed in?
Well, you know what? Miss Shirley and I, we're going to have to try and see if we can find some dance instructors for people that have two left feet like you, and we'll put you guys over in the corner.
And I got to lean. I'm always leaning against the wall, too, so... You know, that's something that that's always been. I just had a lack of rhythm my whole entire life. And you should see me in church. They used to laugh at me in church because I could not clap and sing at the same time. And
oh my God.
They would laugh. And they would see if I'm going to clap in church. And I could hit the chair, but I couldn't put my hands together. Someone taught me, you know, there's either a 1-2 or a 1-2-3. And that's when I began to be able to clap along with everyone. But I had to stare at everybody's hands in church. And you know, I couldn't look around. I just had to follow their hands because I had no rhythm at all. So then someone said, you have rhythm. You just have your own rhythm. You just establish your own thing. And it was a disaster for me in church because I was always embarrassed that I would always have to hit the chair and I couldn't clap along with it. It was like I clapped the opposite of everyone.
Yeah, it sounds like you clap on the 1 and the 3 instead of the 2 and the
yes.
4. And that's okay.
I think I was clapping on a 7. It's just horrible for me growing up.
Wow.
But it's all good. I know Chris. I know Chris is always dressing sharp. He's always looking for something to do. And Chris, I take it, if we can get a flyer to you, you could tell everybody at the York House, correct?
Yes, that is true. And I'd like to say good morning, Reverend Pastor Billy and Mrs. Pass. I'd like to know, do you have to be born in the month of March in order to attend?
Get closer to the mic.
No, sir. And I'm glad that you asked this. This is a time where everybody is able to come out and celebrate everybody's birthday. Now, what's going to happen is that if your birthday falls in that month, we're just going to highlight you. So there'll be cakes. You'll have your specific area where your family and immediate close friends will be able to celebrate. Those of you all that's been in Majestic Ballroom, you know that it's a large, spacious facility. And so you're able to have your group of friends sectioned off, and we'll have the table and we'll have all of the setup for the person whose birthday is actually that month. Okay. But we're all in there celebrating there together.
Okay.
So whenever your month comes around, then it'll just be highlighting you during that month.
Guess what?
So this is a buy-in and a plug-in for everybody, all seniors, all year round.
You guys won't believe this, Chris. So, but tomorrow is my birthday.
We don't believe that.
Chris, why did you have to that? Chris, well, you didn't have to say that, though, Chris. We could have waited till we were off air or something. I was all in when they said cake.
I
tell people, yes, I'm a wellness coach, but I have an affinity towards junk food. I do. And yes, I'm a wellness coach. I talk about exercise. I talk about abstaining from sugar because it speeds up. But sometimes you got to indulge. And I love birthday cake.
Well, listen, we know that you also love joking. So Miss Bass is going to definitely take that ID to make sure that you that your birthday is
That's a good one. That's
Chris,
good one.
Do you know any places that make up IDs?
Nah.
Okay.
I can't help you.
I'll be searching on my own then. All right.
But I would like to say I'm looking forward to coming out tomorrow at 8 o'clock, at 7 o'clock. You say 800 on the avenue.
Yes, sir. That's right around the corner from you.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Right.
And as a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you something. How long have you been in New York House?
Going on 1 year.
Oh, 1 year. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because I had a member that was there, and she passed, so I didn't know if you knew her or not, but Cassandra James was a resident of the York House.
Cassandra, you remember Cassandra? Yes.
She was there. Yeah, she was there while I was
Oh,
there.
You were there when she was there?
Yes.
Okay. So, yeah, a dear, dear member and a good friend for many, many years. And so, yeah, I'm probably going to do something special because, you know, every year Cassandra would do a food, you know, she did dinners on her birthday every year. And so I want to do that as a way of, you know, recognizing her this year. So I'd love for you to participate in that and help get the information out to the people in the building, because I know she did that for all of the residents of the York House every year.
I certainly will.
She was a minister too, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Absolutely.
She would always give me word. Well, oh my gosh. When I would do my healthy eating, me and her would go at it. But it was all in fun, though. It was all in fun. We would just rib each other. So she had a quick comeback for everything.
Absolutely. And as her pastor, you know, I caught it all the time.
So excuse me, can I have telephone number one more time, please?
Yes, sir. The number is 267-737-7447.
Thank you.
We hear Chris actually putting it in his phone now. I know he's going to be telling all the seniors there at the York House.
Absolutely. Listen, we can have a whole York House section in there for everybody that comes out from the York House.
They love the dance at the York House.
And Miss Batch, you're at the Germantown House, right?
Yes, I am. I'm at the Germantown House.
Yeah, I've been there a few times doing my demonstration there.
Okay. What'd you say your name was?
Reverend Michael Sloan. I did the healthy eating demonstration. I would make smoothies and teas. I would do the massage therapy and all that to get rid of arthritis.
Yeah, I do remember now. Okay. All right. Well, it's the pleasure of meeting you again.
Yes. I look forward to seeing you tomorrow, Lord willing.
Okay. All right.
So one of the things I was talking to Chris on our way down here about some things that happen in our community. And one of the reasons why we have the Federation of Black and Minority Businesses is to leverage the power of the dollar. because in our communities, we just don't do that enough. And every culture has a federation. And the federation is to bring about change to their community and recycle the money, that, as opposed to it leaving the community. It's not about, I don't want to say this, I'm losing the words here, but it's not about racism. This is about doing what you can to pull yourself up by your bootstraps and not necessarily looking for a hand out, but a helping hand to help everyone. And I always say this, you know, when we look in our community, you see what's going on, especially in the African-American community, because, you know, there's a lot of minority communities. But in particular, the African-American communities, you look at the young men. And if they're not gifted athletically, academically, or musically, what do they have to look forward to?
Life of crime.
You know, because they have no hope, no inspiration. And when you look at it, they grew up in what, single homes? Or they grew up, what, being raised by who? Grandparents? So you don't have what we call some of the, I would say, tutelage that goes along with a lot of other cultures. So that when, you know, trials and tribulations hit them, they react to what? Violence. You know, back when I was growing up, you had gun violence. You always had it. But now it seems as though it just reached, you know, it's just people now are just handling their emotions through guns now. And I think there should be, and we talked about this, Pastor Thompson, you know, people of color being raised in our community, because I think when you look at the African-American community, what's missing is the African-American male. You don't see enough successful African-American males in the community. Because a lot of times, even the pastors, so forth, leave the community once they establish themselves. So how do we bring about change? You know, we have seniors right now, and they call it senior ambassadors. Their job is to leave a legacy. And I applaud them because they are actually going out in the highways and byways. You know, I bring up that tale, that time when 15 people were shot at Broad and Chew. Remember that, Chris?
Yes, I do.
You know, our seniors ambassadors were out there during that time. And one of the things I thought, wow, I put them in harm's way. And their response was, okay, when we're going back out there. And they were, within 1 week, they were right back there on Broad Street. Like, you know, it's, you know, God has our back. And they were just, you know, maybe 100 yards away from where the shooting took place. And it was even talked about during that time, you know, this is dangerous, because my kids came out and I was like, Dad, you know, is it safe out here? And I said to them, what do you think's going to happen? You have the police right here. Nothing's going to happen. And sure enough, you know, all these shots rang out just 35 minutes, 45 minutes after I said, nah, nothing's going to happen. But glory be to God, you know, even though someone lost their life, and, you know, that is tragic, none of the seniors were hurt. So I praise God for that, because that would have been on my conscience. But nonetheless, someone did lose their life. And that's what we really have to focus on. How do we stem this tide of hatred, of hopelessness? And, you know, we need to come up with solutions, and we need to galvanize ourselves. We need to work on getting our pastors united and stop looking for what separates us. You know, I look at a lot of our black men, how we begin to try to climb the ladder of success. And often what happens, we sort of get in that crab-like mentality because we're under what? Pressure. We're stressed out. When you look at a crab is a solitary creature. Doesn't pull on anything. But you put them, you know, under pressure and you put them under heat. And as they're being dropped into that pot of water, what do you think they're going to do? They're going to grab the closest thing next to them because they're trying to pull themselves up. And as they're trying to pull themselves up, they're doing what?
Pulling another one down.
Pulling somebody down. So, you know, and that's what happens in our communities. And, you know, a lot of times, and I have this story that I have. I had a home care agency. And my partner of a number of years just decided to do something. You know, it's even hard for me to communicate this. It just decided to take the company, take all of the money out of the account. And because we had a arrangement of trust, my name was not on the company. Now, I could still prove the company was mine, but it would take a huge legal battle. What was smart by her in order to beat me legally was to take all the money out of the account and put it in another account so that I could not fight her legally. Now, mind you, I could have taken the money out of the account as well, but I didn't because I trusted her. And because we did not require each other's signature to be on account, she took out hundreds of thousands of dollars out of the account and just took the business and said, "You fight me." Now, you know, I have an affinity towards a person because a person and I went through a whole lot and she helped me a whole lot. But to turn around and do that, and I understand she was influenced by someone. I get that. Someone who we hired and she fell in love with that person and they conspired to take the business. Now, I have decisions to make. And part of it, what they countered was, here, we'll give you a settlement offer. Just walk away. If not, you know, you're going to have to fight me in court. And right now, you don't have the money. And I got myself spread so thin with all these businesses that I'm in. You know, I have money, but everything's tied up. So I'm praying, Lord, do I want to take this business and strike it down? Because I can. What do I do? And it's just constant prayer for me. It's just constant prayer. And I want revenge so bad. But we all know revenge is the Lord's. You know, I turned one cheek, I turned the other cheek. But then I was reminded I have two more cheeks. And, you know, it's hard. It's very hard. But this is an issue. And, you know, I have another business in which a person just traversed in another direction without telling me. And it's really, I explain to people, you know, I tend to be very witty when it comes to legal matters. So I'm like, if you do something, you know the platform is mine. You know you will be banned. But sometimes people, that greed that we have, you know, the heart is deceitfully wicked. And we could do so much together. But a lot of times when people are under pressure, they do things that really doesn't make any sense. Because the strength in numbers. You know, when you realize you have a whole pie and you start fighting over crumbs. Why? Because you probably think you're not going to get anything. So you're going to take yours now and the whole pie is yours, but you know, you're just going to settle for crumbs. because you're going to get more crumbs than a person next to you. So I just don't get that. I mean, I get it, but you know, when you realize you have the whole pie in front of you, and you look at the community at large, you have poor people in the community, right? So you think you don't have leverage, but you do. Because you know who spend more money than rich people?
Poor
people. And again, it's just that we are so hurt that the people in power could take advantage of that, and they can easily persuade one person to lead the group another way. And if you go to our website, thefbmb.com, the Federation of Black and Minority Businesses. And though I'm always talking about minorities, I would be remiss if I didn't say how much help we get from our counterpart. I get a lot of help from Jewish organizations. I do. I get a lot of help from white people, period. You know, sometimes the hardest thing to do is to galvanize minorities because they're so disenchanted. They have so much hurt. And there's a lack of trust, and that is because it's been instilled in us. For me, I grew up with many cultures, and I've been invited to many cultures. So I look at things through a different perspective. But I empathize with the community that I grew up with. I feel their pain. I'm in their pain. I experience the pain. You know, I was with one of the largest organizations. I won't say the name of the organization, but it was the second largest organization in the country in this particular industry, and they hired me. They hired me because my grandfather was an Italian from South Philly, and it was okay. We got to hire our own. All right. Now, when I got there, they're like, OK, you're a lot darker than what we thought you would be. And it was like, hold on. You said your grand. I said, yeah, my grandfather. Told him the name, everything. It's like, yeah, but you don't fit the mold. And then they said, OK, we're still going to hire you. But if you hire one black person, we're going to fire you. This is in 2000. This is, you know, 2005. They said, if you hire one black person, we're going to fire you. We're letting you in, but you better not let anybody else in. You shut the door behind you. So what do you think I did?
Hire a black person.
Oh, yeah. That put a target on me. Didn't I tell you? That didn't end too well for them. It didn't end too well for them. You know, there were some indictments and all that. I won't get into it. And there's some people that served time and all of that. And it's amazing how racism, when people say racism doesn't exist, you know, in corporate America. Of course, it never went away. It just, you know, there's. Became more clever and hiding it. Because there's always these good old boy networks. But this is not about them. This is really about minorities, you know, trying to band together. Because you got to be able to help yourself. We're always looking for handouts. And I don't want to just, you know, be the only one speaking on this. Pastor Thompson, if you would like to share some of your thoughts on this.
Yeah, well, you know, what you were talking about is really kind of the sad reality that I encountered. 2019, I ran for city council at large, and I was able to kind of get a complete different perspective of the leadership in our community. I watched some very sad things happen as it relates to our leadership, the division that reared its ugly head. And, you know, the thing that you said and the thing that I believe that we're working on now is the development of a new line of leadership that's going to do the right thing regardless of what the current Black leadership is doing. There is no way for all of these years that we've had Black leaders in the forefront that our communities are still going in the direction that it's been going. There's definitely been backdoor deals made, and kind of like what you mentioned earlier, you know, some of them, I'm not saying all of them, let me be clear on that. Some of them have had those conversations. I'm going to let you in, but don't you let nobody else in. And you know what they do? They accept those deals. They accept those deals because they're only concerned about their families, their churches. And this is something that is to a detriment to our society because they will give endorsements on those things because the payback and the status that they receive and well, if I do this, you'll come and support me and I'll be able to have the image of, you know, I'm on the in crowd or I have the seat at the table, that type of thing. And then if there's any breaks or if you can get my grandson a job in the government, this, that, and the other, all of these type things are going on. But again, when it comes down to moving the Black community forward as a whole, we're missing the leadership of the Leon Sullivan, you know, that era, yeah. You know, where our ministers, our businesses, they were together and they weren't in it just for themselves. They were in it for the people. And so I am hoping and praying and believing that the Federation of Black and Minority Businesses will be able to stand up and will be able to, one, set the precedence. Because, see, these companies, they know that it comes down to the dollar, you know. And one of the things that Sullivan was able to do is he was able to direct the dollars of the Black community to help create the leverage that was needed in order to evoke the change. But right now, the sad reality is that the politicians, the incoming politicians and whoever else is lining up, they already know the go-to pastors, the go-to businesses that they need to go to and say, look, hey, I need your vote. I need you. And now, again, when the larger community is saying, no, we want to go in a different direction, they'll cherry pick those few pastors that have the, you know, the numbers in their congregations and or whatever else and pull them off to the side and backdoor deals cut. And, you know, that's what happens. So the Federation, we've got to get the grassroots businesses, the little small mom and pop stores that's out there that's still around for us to kind of get together and do what's best for our people. And I'm excited because the seniors that I have come in contact with and I'm working with, that's what they're about. It's about everybody.
Correct. Is Miss Batts there?
Are you? Yes, I am.
So
absolutely.
I'm looking forward to speaking to you, and we're going to try to have some of our senior ambassadors because I want seniors ambassadors at every building that I'm going to, and their job is simply to stand in the gap for their surrounding community. And that's what I love about the York House Senior Ambassadors. There's a group of them. They will walk down the street. Their job is to call on businesses whether they're white or black, and especially if they're white, hey, we support you. Why don't you support us? We hold everyone accountable. The politicians. We have Councilman David O, who calls in, and I love that man. I do. I love that man because he's one of the few, even, and I say this lightly, even though he's a Republican, you know, he cares and he gets it. He cares about the people.
Yeah.
He hires Democrats to be on his staff. That's to me, that's just wisdom. Because again, you're serving the people. You're just not serving your party. And some of the things that he speaks on, and you know, he was going to be on air today. I just got a text saying he's not going to make it. But this soda tax, how it is so unjust for poor people. People who don't have vehicles. I refuse to actually buy a soda in Philadelphia or juice because it goes beyond sodas. And that was a ruse. We also have Miss Melody Bazemore on the line, and we're going to be bringing her on because, Pastor, I definitely want you to speak to Miss Bazemore. Miss Bazemore, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you so much for having me today. How's everyone?
Everyone is good. Everyone is good. And I, because remember, the seniors, and we're going to get to you in a moment, but the seniors are the key to everything.
Yes.
Because we need to get our seniors and remind them, you know, you play such an important role in how the community is doing and the health of the community, but we got to get the seniors to band together. We know when politicians are running for office, we know they're going where? To the senior buildings because they vote.
Yes.
But you got to look at the political vote and you also have to look at the dollar vote. Mm-hmm. That is just as important as your political vote. One thing we do know, when you vote with your dollars, you can vote a company in right away and you can vote a company out right away just by leveraging the dollar and everyone buying in unison. And you can reward those businesses who do right by your community, or you can punish those businesses who do wrong by you. So if we can get everyone on the same page, but we also got to look at the hurt and resolving some of the hurt. You know, people need income, people need jobs. And Pastor Thompson, I know that we're going to be working on a program to address and trying to get our folk to become millionaires, because there is a plan in which we can do that. We talked about even our seniors generating additional money through the Federation by stemming the tide, by having them go out there and drum up business for businesses who are doing right, in particular, African-American businesses. Because a wise man leaves something for his children's children. It's about time we change the narrative and hold businesses accountable. And more important, hold our politicians accountable. This soda tax should have, I wouldn't even call it a soda tax.
It's a sugar tax.
Yeah. And, you know, it is so unfair for poor people who really have to purchase, you know, within their community, and they don't have the wherewithal to go out of the community because they know the people who live in the community who are, you know, well off or who are not in dire straits, they can just get a car, get an Uber, and go somewhere else to get their drinks and stock up. So it is crazy how they you know, this ruse that they, you know, used to push off on our people. And, you know, we need to push back with these politicians and say no more. You know, they're supposed to represent us. I don't really think too many people, they convince people to say that it was all right. But the truth of the matter is they start using the money for other stuff. And we know that because other politicians are saying that that's what they're doing. It's a slush fund now. So, and you know what? It needs to be pulled out. But let's get to Ms. Bazemore, because I want her to speak about what she does, because I know we have this initiative, Pastor Thompson, that we're going to be working with seniors, creating senior ambassadors, working in their communities, but also with the churches. So I want Ms. Bazemore to talk about why it's so important that our people begin to understand their credit and how to use it, how to fix it, because it's costing us a lot of money. We're being preyed upon because we're not as well informed as other communities. Ms. Bazemore, take it away.
Thank you again. Thank you. So, yes, my name is Melody Bazemore. I'm a financial literacy coach. I'm located right here in the Philadelphia area, but I do serve all 50 states, and I'm just privileged to be a part of the Federation to teach financial literacy from the youth all the way to our seniors, because without this education, this is why we're actually paying more to survive out here. Poverty comes with less, you know, not having the education, you know, and I feel like being a mid-age, I'm over 50 now, and I wasn't taught how to use credit or even how credit was calculated. I just knew to pay my bills on time. But what happens when you don't have that money? And just like the conversation you guys just ended with, the soda tax. Now, think about what you just said, Pastor. If you even have to get in a car or an Uber to go outside of your area to save on the soda, you just spend additional money to get a little savings. Now the savings is not a savings. So we have to really teach people what's interest rates. What are you really paying? What is the tax interest in each area? Because I have the privilege to be able to travel from time to time, and I notice if I'm in another state, the taxes could be on clothing, where here in Pennsylvania, there's no clothing tax. So I'll have the store mail it to my home so I don't have to pay it. And just those little tips is teaching us how to keep money in our homes and definitely building a legacy, having a trust. See, we are taught to have a will because you can get that for free. But you need a living trust, something that lives after you pass. And this knowledge is really not taught to us. A few people do know about it. They may pass it through their family, but it needs to be taught on a bigger horizon. And that's why we would love to partner with the churches as well, because they tend to listen to their pastors and their spiritual advisors, because we're so torn in a government that, like you said, with the politics. I'm a judge of elections. We can't even move forward because they're splitting up the districts now, the congressional district, the state rep districts. So everything is in an uphold, but we're holding someone else to tell us what we're going to have or our value in our life. And this is where with education, we can take back control and become entrepreneurs, become business owners, and let's keep our money in our cities, in our communities, because every other nationality does do that. They support each other's businesses, and that's why they're thriving. But we always support everybody else and not our own. So we definitely have to get together and come together.
Amen. Amen. That's why we have people like Chris, who is a senior ambassador, who goes out in the community and will inform, educate people, and tell them about what companies that are helping the community. So you have that word of mouth, you have that face-to-face, you have that guerrilla marketing, and we need our seniors, and we need to let young people see the seniors now taking up the mantle, because they're really doing it for them. Would you not say, Chris?
Yes. I'd like to speak on that. The sugar tax, it was supposed to be put in place for the kindergartens, get set. But it only supposed to have been there for 1 year. But now it is going on 3 years, and the sugar tax is still there. but nobody knows where the money's going. Where's the money going? It's not going to the community. It's not going to the schools anymore. They have more than enough. They know, they don't got more than what they need. So now they're just being greedy, but they're not telling nobody where the money's going at. The money could be used for different things, but they're not letting us know. It's like, whatever they say to us, we accept it. It's like they pull our pants down around our ankle, tell us to bend over, because we talk about it, but we don't do nothing about it. We have to get together and unite and go out there and fight these politicians that keep on trying to run, jam this stuff down our throat, and we sit around and take it. We don't have to take this. We can stand together and do something about it. It's just like, if you remember, they had Unity Day. They took that away from us. Nutter. But they never take away, Mother's Day parade. It's still intact. And Unity Day was there for like 30 years. Never no problem down there. Everything was always good. But what happened? Nutter came in. we don't need that no more. We don't have the police to control that. But you still have police control the mummers. Come on. And it's like all the stuff the United States is doing, like we're being taxed for this, taxed for that. They didn't want that when Great Britain was doing it to them. Taxation without representation. If you can represent me like this, then you keep your representation for yourself. I'll go somewhere else to get representation. I can represent myself. It just doesn't make no sense, the stuff they're doing to us. And the reason they do it, as I'm saying, we sit around them door. We got to get together, like when Dr. Martin Luther King was there. Protest, march on them, speak on it. You know, we just can't sit around them and keep on doing this like this. Long we can sit around and go, oh man, you know that's wrong, this wrong, that. And we don't do nothing about it. It's going to keep on happening. Every time they look around, they're going to be hitting up with this, hitting us with that. And the only thing we do, oh man, they hit up with something else. We got to get together.
And you know something? We have Reverend Kwamina. I meant to reach out to him today, but he did say he wanted to talk about, you know, strategizing. And for those who don't know about Reverend Kwamina, his father figure, Dr. Bevel, I'm not sure if I'm saying enunciating his name correctly, but he had the script for nonviolence, protesting through nonviolence that he and Dr. Martin Luther King developed. And they actually he actually has the curriculum. There's only two people in the country who has that curriculum. And Reverend Kwamina is one of the two people that have it. And it is so nice to have someone part of the Federation who has that curriculum, how we can organize ourselves to do better. You know, we just need a collective, a mindset, a discipline, and we need to be committed to integrity with one another. I stress that. I can't stress it enough that we have to show integrity, and we got to fight against our urges to do our own thing, you know, because there's strength in numbers. And as long as we remember that, we'll be okay. But the moment we begin to do our own thing, and there's a counter to what I'm saying. I get that. There is a counter, you know, because at the end of the day, you have to be your own entity. But you got to remember, you could be your own entity, but working together. Because you have to remember, if we're going to do this, if it's going to work, you know, we collectively have to come together. And there are organizations, white and black, that would benefit. Remember, even with the Federation of Black Minority Businesses, there are white people that's part of the Federation. Because they see the value, they see the benefit. You know, we have one that, you know, come on air with us from time to time. So, you know, it takes a village. So I do want to thank Ms. Bazemore. I know we were going to meet up at some point in time with Pastor Thompson. We do have a number of pastors, and we do have a number of businesses that support the Federation of Black and Minority Businesses. So, you know, I look forward. Now that COVID is beginning to ease up, it's a little easier to get into more functions. And as the weather begins to break, it makes it more plausible to gather as well, because from a COVID perspective, you know, COVID has a tendency to thrive more in colder weather, but there's certain things that we can do to protect ourselves. And I'm not talking about just through mask separating, but you really taking care of our immune system to where as though if you do get COVID, you could be asymptomatic because your immune system is right. And I talk about this, and I know I'm jumping because that's the coffee in me. It's the coffee in me. You know, when you look at the animal kingdom, there's not a lot of animals dying from COVID. Really think about that. You know, you look at a lot of the animals that live with us. You know, you have dogs who's always licking people's faces, right? And you know, they don't really, you're not really hearing about these animals that are dying from COVID. And you got to ask yourself, why? How come the animals are not dying? Now, we do know, they say COVID possibly originated in this country with this particular animal, with bats and whatnot. And you know, part of that is true. When they get COVID, what do? They actually fly. They take flight. They do what we call an exercise. And that revs your immune system up when you exercise. And you look at America, why there were so many deaths in America with COVID? I mean, so much more than any other country. It's astounding how many deaths in America compared to all the other countries. I think we had like 20% of all the deaths of the entire world. Why is that?
Where's the proof of that? That's what they say. But where's the really proof that so many people are dying in the United States from COVID?
Well, it's the data is being supported by those in the hospital. Now, you could say, okay, well, maybe they're adjusting the numbers. We do know this. This is what we do know. There's a lot of people that died from COVID. We know that without a shadow of fact, because I know friends and I have family members. These are young family members, younger than I am, who died from COVID. And you just ask around, you'll know somebody knows somebody that died from COVID. Or at least that's what they say they died from. But nonetheless, this is what we do. We do know this. People's immune systems are compromised. You know, people are sick in America. You know, America experienced a lot of deaths for a country that's so sophisticated. And, you know, they talk about wearing masks, and I don't want to get too controversial. But when you wear a mask too much, you actually affect your immune system negatively.
You're not breathing out.
You know, part of meditation is breathing in and out constantly. That is to protect your body. Now, when you talk about masking yourself off, the number one problem with seniors is that they don't have enough oxygen. So now you complicate things by putting a mask over your face. Now I understand you have to protect yourself and be responsible about protecting others. But I'm talking about, you know, so I see some people driving around in a car by themselves with a mask on. People walk around in their house with a mask on. And sometimes you could do more harm to yourself wearing a mask. And I can get into the science behind it, but I don't have the time. So we'll do that one day.
Okay.
And I'm not saying don't wear your mask. I don't want people to misconstrue this, that I'm not saying, you know, don't wear your mask, because we have to be responsible. We got to protect our fellow neighbors. I caught COVID twice. And the first time it didn't affect me at all. Asymptomatic. Second time, it was like a flu. Yeah. You know, and for me, it was just like one, maybe 2 days of, you know, just mucus, congestion, nothing else. But the importance of it is again, trying to mitigate it by having what we call a healthy immune system. And I just, you know, we have to be, you know, we have to be healthy, period, whether it's spiritual health, physical health, mental health. And that's getting the right information out there. You know, we talk about credit health, right? Right, Ms. Bazemore?
Yes, yes.
We're talking about spiritual health as well. Is that right, Pastor Thompson?
Absolutely. Yes.
And we have to work together to get this information. So there has to be a concerted effort for all of us to work together, get the word out. That's why the seniors have to work together. And the seniors can, because they have more time on their hands. So they could do more to affect the community in a lot of ways that other people can't. Because, again, you have this free time. And God is going to hold us accountable and say, what did you do with your time? Well, I retired. I spent it serving myself. When we're here to serve others. Is that not correct? So again, if you want to leave, and I'm telling the seniors, if you want to leave a legacy, we have a chance to do something very important and change our communities. So I just want to thank my co-host, Chris Tucker, our guest, Ms. Bazemore, who's really not a guest because she comes on all the time, and Pastor Thompson and Ms. Batts. I look forward to seeing you guys. Wake up, Philadelphia. It's time to make a change.
Get a chance to meet y'all tomorrow.
God bless everyone.
To what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children to jump the very best you can. The world won't get no better if we're just